So I've got a question for you. If I could guarantee that you would experience success and not failure with whatever it is you're wanting to do and currently paralyzed by, would you do it? If I told you you could not fail, you would only succeed, would you say, well, I don't know, probably not? No, you wouldn't. You'd say, if I knew I couldn't fail, of course I would do it. And you'd jump in. Well, that's exactly what I'm here to give you on this Ask a Life Coach episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast. We are going to dive in with talking about failure and being done with it from this point forward. So with that, let's jump in. We're ready to go. Well, hey there, I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of 9 who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. Well, hey there. This is Jennifer Roskamp, also known as the Intentional Mom. Today, we've got an Ask a Life Coach episode. We do these every Friday, and there'll be details at the end with if you would like to have your question answered on the podcast or be entered into the ring for that. But what we're going to be talking about today is I'm paralyzed by thinking I'm going to fail, so I don't even try. This was sent in to me by an audience member who said, hey, I need some help with this. So if this has ever happened to you, right? I think I'm going to fail, so I don't even try. Here's what we need to talk about first. Recognize that this makes total sense. And you actually already have the right answer if you're saying, I'm paralyzed by thinking I'm going to fail, so I don't even try. And the way that you have the right answer already by saying that is because, and we've talked about this here before, but this might be a new concept, our thoughts control the actions that we do and do not take. Our thoughts, therefore, are the biggest player in whatever the results are that you are currently getting. So if your mind says, I feel like I'm going to fail, so I'm not even trying, you are exactly right. What we need to do is not worry about the actions right now. We don't need to worry about the thing you're trying to do or the things you're trying to do or change or the habit you're trying to start. We need to actually fix those thoughts of failure because they actually are the problem. And I've got a 3-step process for you to do this. How easy is that, right? So let's jump in. Step one is that you need to reframe how you see failure. I've got lots to say here on this topic. And in fact, I've got a whole course on failure because there's that much to say. But here's the key concepts. There are 3 better ways to see failure than how you're currently looking at it. Okay. Thing number one, when you think of failure, you need to think about failing as data collection, right? Essentially, what worked well and what didn't, right? You need to think about, I'm just taking in information so that I can sort through it and figure it out. Because how can you ever figure anything out without trying it first? Even down to the simplest things, how do you know if you're going to like a certain food without trying it? How do you know what you're going to think of this new fun city that you're going to go to on vacation without actually going there and experiencing it? You've got to experience it. You've got to do something, take some sort of action so that you can collect data that you will then be able to sift through to say, here's how I can sum this all up. Here are the thoughts I have about this. Here is how I managed this. Here is how well I performed at this, whatever it is, right? Data collection. You can see failure as data collection. So again, thinking about what worked well and what didn't. And there's probably always going to be both. When you try something, even if you assess it as failure, it is not going to be 100% failure. There are going to have been certain things that you did, certain pieces or parts that actually did work. And so you're filtering and kind of sifting through the action and the results, and you're saying what worked and what didn't. So that's one thing that you, another way that you can look at this failure. Another way that you can think about failure is to know that this was just your limit with that particular attempt. This is what I was capable of when I tried this particular thing this time. But you can know that your limit when you try it again will be at least somewhat different. So in this way, failure can just be feedback. And then you can use that feedback to try again. It just tells you, I think of it as trying to jump from a starting point, and you're trying to jump and cling to a wall. This is always how I envision it in my mind. Don't ask me why. My mind makes these weird pictures. My mind is always making analogies to like attach to concepts. That's just kind of how my brain works. And so when I think about failure personally, and when I think about it and teach it every time, this is always the visual that I go to. I picture a person standing and they're trying to do something. So it's essentially like they're leaping and trying to stick to this wall. And when you do that, that happens to be where you stuck today. It's just, it's how well your angle was. It had to do with how much force you exerted. And that had to do with how much energy you had when you came to the starting line that day and what your focus was at the time. And if you were distracted at the time. And you can see all of these variables that come into play just with this silly little analogy that I gave you. And so when you're actually putting this to use in real life, it really just becomes a matter of, this is what you were capable of today. This is how far I jumped today. This is what my stopping point looked like for this attempt. And then you can use what you can use that data point to try again. One of the best ways to approach things, especially new things, is with curiosity. And so, again, when you're trying something new that maybe previously you would have been afraid of failing at, you would have assumed that you were going to fail, and so you're paralyzed, you can approach it with this curiosity. And instead of worrying about, am I going to fail? Am I going to get it right? What's it going to look like? What are the results going to be? You change the conversation that you have with yourself and you say, I wonder where I'll land today. And that will tell me what I need to adjust. And again, that works really well. That question works really well with that jumping and trying to stick to a wall analogy that I gave you. So again, your step one is that when you approach something that you're going to try, something new that you're going to try, or maybe something that you're going to try again, or something, whatever it might be, you're going to approach it, and your approach should be, I wonder where I'll land today, and that will tell me what I need to adjust. That will tell me how I need to adjust. If you think about it, how many things have you done in life where you've gotten it right on the first try? And you can say, oh, there, that was exactly what I needed. I don't need to try that again, or I don't need to tweak or change things at all. I'm exactly where I need to be. I didn't have to practice that one bit. I got on my two-wheel bike and I took off down the road and I just kept riding and I just never fell, never had to practice, right? Practicing is something that we have to do with pretty much everything, especially something new. So failure is just an opportunity, attempting something rather than being afraid of failing. Look at it as an opportunity to begin the practicing. Practicing is a skill that we all have to do. So that's step one. Step two is to clarify who you are and who you are not. Here's what I mean by this. This is an important differentiation to make, not only in the context of this conversation, but in the context of everything. You are not your actions. I'm going to say that again. You are not your actions. And also, similarly, and perhaps even more powerfully, you are not your results. You are not the results that came as a reflection of that attempt. When you do or try things, the results that happen don't define you as a person in any way. But this is often something that we feel, right? We feel like we are our results. We feel like that measuring stick actually measures our value, actually measures our worth, measures who we are. And it's important to know when you go into an attempt of anything, big or small, that you are going to separate yourself from your results. Because you are your amazing, beautiful self outside of the results you achieve. Just like the worthiness of your kids, your spouse, your friends, it's not based on what are you going to do for me? It's not based on that sort of scale. You don't judge others that way. And so don't judge your own worthiness that way either. You are not your actions. You are not your results. It doesn't define who you are. Think about when someone you love does something that disappoints you. That feeling of disappointment is just a feeling that you have about them. And I would argue that you instinctively see that just as a feeling of disappointment. You don't actually say, what a disappointing person that is. And so you're able, with other people, you're able to separate those results of others. You're able to separate those from who they are as people. And so step two is to do the same thing for yourself. Understand that you are not your results. You are yourself as a person. It is not who you are. That's step two. Step three is to redefine success. And this is another big one. These are three heavy hitters. So if you haven't already started to take notes, I'm going to encourage you to pause here and go grab something to write with, maybe rewind or know that you'll have to start over again and actually write these down with all of the powerful. I feel like these are very empowering. I know these are very empowering concepts, and they're ones that you're going to be able to use time and time again, but they're going to be ones that feel, they're going to be probably relatively new to you, or at least they're ones that you're not practiced at using. You might even know these things, but it's much easier to just beat yourself up about things and really honestly to look at things through that failure lens, because for whatever reason, that just seems a little bit more natural to us, especially if that tended to be the way that you have looked at things. It's always easier to go back and do things the same way we've always done them. They feel comfortable. They feel anything new never really feels comfortable. And so the old things, the old ways of doing things, they feel comfortable. And so that tends to be what we gravitate towards. And so I do want to encourage you to make sure that you're taking notes here so that you can go back when you're going to do things or when you're tempted to feel like you're failing at something, that you haul these back out and work through these steps. Okay. So step three is to redefine success. Success isn't just in moving forward. But we think that, right? We think that we can only define something as successful if we have actually made, if we have actually moved forward and gotten to the end point. Success is any attempt you make at moving forward, even if you're moving sideways or even if you're moving backwards. Again, remember, it's just data collection. It's just feedback. I'm going to refer you back to step one here. It's just that feedback. It doesn't have to be only progress made that counts as success. Success is any attempt you make at moving forward. There will always be some things that you can't control about the results that happen because of an attempt that you make. But there are always going to be the things that you can control about the results that you're getting. And when you move forward and make any attempt at something from the looking for feedback vantage point, you'll be experiencing success. Because again, it's likely your old way of looking at failure, you're moving away from that. And likely with your old way of looking at failure, you 100% would not have seen backward movement or even parallel movement as success. The only way that you would have attached a label of success with your old way of thinking is if you moved forward And sometimes it would actually be that you, again, moved all the way forward and hit the mark that you were shooting for. Sometimes we're so critical of ourselves, and sometimes we are so hard on ourselves that's the only success that is the only option we have, is getting to the finish line. And if we haven't gotten to the finish line, well, then we failed. Everything else is seen as failure. So if you've gone through these steps, again, hopefully you've written them down and can track with me here. So we've gone through step one, we've gone through step two, and we've gone through step three. And we've ended up really redefining failure, and we have given ourselves permission to separate ourselves from the definition or defining ourselves based on the results. And so if we've come this far, then we are agreeing that if an attempt is going to bring you success, that's where you should be at now in your mind space. Again, as you've kind of moved through these things, as you've likely had to marinate on them, because again, if this is a new way of thinking, it's not, our minds are not like an on-off switch where, oh, this is what I've now heard. So, you know, it's like we don't 100% buy into things. It takes some time. So know that, you know, I give you these three steps and they roll off the tongue and they fit into this short time span that we're here together. But know that you're going to have to continue to practice these thoughts. You're going to have to revisit these concepts. And especially if you tended to attach that failure label to things and to yourself quite often, you're going to have to practice them more. You're going to have to revert back. You're going to have to change your thinking a whole lot more, because it is going to be easier to revert back to that old way of thinking. But if you can now agree with me as we come through these steps that any attempt is going to bring you success, well, now you've just unparalyzed yourself. And then you can simply repeat the process. You can keep trying new things. You can keep gathering feedback until you get the result you want or decide it's not relevant anymore, because sometimes that happens as well. Sometimes we experience so much growth in the process of trying that what we are originally trying to get to isn't even relevant anymore. And so you have now, again, going back to my original ask a life coach question, if you have worked through these three steps, you are no longer paralyzed. You are no longer paralyzed by those thoughts of failure, because we have worked forward through them. Because the truth is, failure is just an emotion that you're allowing yourself to feel. I'm going to say that one more time. You're allowing yourself to feel that. That can have a little bit of a sting to it, and that's okay, right? The hard things always have a little bit of a sting to it. But failure is simply an emotion that you're allowing yourself to feel. You're thinking and defining something as a failure, but you can think and feel differently about failure, which keeps you from being paralyzed without even trying. So going back to my thought in the very beginning, going back to my question I asked you way back in the beginning, see, I told you that I could give you success, because as we've worked through these steps, we have learned that any attempt is success. And from there, the attempt is just that feedback so that you'll be able to keep on going and trying. How awesome is this? Make sure that you have followed the Intentional Mom podcast, because we do these episodes. We do these Ask a Life Coach episodes every Friday, and you can get my help with a struggle. So if you want that, I told you I'd tell you about that all the way at the end. So here we are. Just let me know in the comments of this episode that you would like to throw your hat into the ring to have your struggle featured on an episode just like this one. So until next time, get out there and start gathering that feedback. It's so much better than being paralyzed on the starting line. I would love a clean house, but I'm just so busy. If this is you, you're going to want to stick around for the next episode, because I'll be sharing a simple process you can create that will get you on your way to a cleaner home. By the way, I'll also share why I've never hired anyone to help clean my home, even though life with 11, well, now 10, people can certainly keep me busy. And hiring someone else sounds like a dream at times. A clean home is possible, and I'm spilling the secrets in the next episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast. I'll see you there. Bye-bye.